One of the reasons that I believe that the Bible is the Word of God is because of the existence of the Jewish people. Why do I say that? Would you turn in the Word of God this morning to Jeremiah chapter 30? The prophet Jeremiah chapter 30. I have several statements that are part of the outline today. First of all, what did God promise about them, the Jewish people? Jeremiah 30, look at verse 11. And no one shall make him afraid, for I am with you, says the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you. That is, he says, though I may destroy all of these other nations because of their behavior, I will never make a full end or destroy you completely. Turn the page to Jeremiah 31. Look at verse 35 through 37. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, and ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea, and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 36. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, then I will also cast off the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Paraphrased, this is what he said. I am as likely to reject my people, Israel, as I am to do away with the laws of nature. God says, I won't do that. He says, not until the heavens can be measured and the foundations of the earth explored will I consider casting away forever Israel because of their sins. There are some interesting accounts in history. You know who Napoleon was. History records that Napoleon was seated around a campfire with his generals before the Battle of the Pyramids, and they were debating about religion. And Napoleon was asked by one of his generals, who professed to be an atheist, so, do you believe there's a God? And Napoleon, we are told, pointed to one of the generals there, Marshal Massena, who was Jewish, and Napoleon said, gentlemen, there is the unmistakable argument that there is a God, a Jewish person. Interesting. So, what did God say about them? Second, what has the world done to the Jewish people? Would you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28? Deuteronomy chapter 28. And notice, if you will, verse 58. If you do not carefully observe the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God. Then, he says, if then the Lord will bring upon you and your descendants extraordinary plagues, great and prolonged plagues, and serious and prolonged sicknesses. God says, if you don't obey my laws that I have given to you, you are going to suffer serious diseases. Drop down, if you will, to verse 62, the first statement. And you will be left few in number. Drop down to verse 63, the last part. You will be plucked from off the land which you go to possess. That's the promised land. And then he says, and the Lord will scatter you, verse 64, among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other, and there you will serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, wood and stone. And then he says, now listen to this part. I actually had this years ago. I marked in red in my Bible. And among those nations where they're scattered throughout the world, you will find no rest. Nor shall the sole of your foot have a resting place. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and anguish of soul. Your life, he's referring to the Jewish people, shall hang in doubt before you. You shall fear day and night, and you will have no assurance of life. In the morning, you will say, oh, we wish it was evening. At evening, you'll say, oh, that it were morning. Because of the fear which terrifies your heart, and because of the sight which your eyes will see. Wow. If we could call the nations from their tombs and put them on oath, a witness stand, before the tribunal of history, they would have to tell how each of them, in their own way, tried to slay the Jewish people. Read history. The Jewish people have marched through the centuries in chains, scarcely ever breathing any air except that of the dungeon or the gas chamber. They have gone through satanic persecutions. They have been treated mercilessly. They have been martyred by the millions and millions. Nation after nation has sought to exterminate, do away completely with the people called Jews. How sad. History is horrifying when you read it. But God. You say, but God? What do you mean? We've looked at what God promised about them. We've looked at what the world has done to them. I would like for you now to see what God has done for them. You say, what has he done? He has fulfilled his word. You say, but how? And here comes the interesting part, because this is a series having to do with understanding the times in which we live. When you open your Bibles,
and look at the description that Jesus Christ gave of what it will be like just before his second coming to earth. Guess what we see? Remember at the time the Bible was written, the dispersion of the Jewish people. Remember Jesus said, they are going to come in and they are going to destroy the city of Jerusalem and your holy worship place, the temple. And then he describes what it will be like in the years, 7 years, basically, just before his second coming back to earth. We see two shocking things. When Jesus describes that time period, though the Jewish people have been scattered across the entire earth and have been persecuted by almost every nation and people, they are back in their land as a nation. And when he describes what it will be like just before his second coming, their temple is there. It has been rebuilt. I'm going to show you the passage. I want you to see it and listen to it from the words of our Lord. And I want you to mark your Bibles if you need to so that you can get the context of this passage. Would you turn to Matthew 24? The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, listen carefully. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, because it was standing in his day. And his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And I will tell you that that statement alone shocked his disciples. They could not conceive of a world without this worship center called the temple. So the next verse, verse 3 says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and they have three questions. First, tell us, when shall these things be? Second, what will be the sign of your coming? And third, of the end of the age. And he answers them. And if you don't have your Bibles marked this way, he is now in Matthew 24 going to describe the 7-year period just before his second coming back to earth. You could kind of divide the chapter into three portions. This period is called the tribulation of the Jewish people in particular, but the world in general. the beginning of the tribulation, verses 15 through
verses 4 through 14. The second part, or the middle of the tribulation, verses 15 to 20. The last half of the tribulation, verses 21 to 28, and then after the tribulation, starting at verse 29. Listen as he describes this. Now, he's answering their questions. You said, Jesus, that you're leaving, but you said you're going to come back. What will it be like? What do we look for that will tell us your coming back to earth the second time is getting close? Here's his answer. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, COVID, that's my paraphrase. There will be pestilences around the world, earthquakes in various places. Don't read into that's saying it's COVID. I didn't mean that. I'm just saying he does talk about there will be worldwide diseases. And earthquakes in very unusual places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, meaning the tribulation, will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end, parenthesis, of the tribulation will come. Now watch. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, I have a sermon coming on that, standing in the holy place. What? Wait a minute. The holy place is in the temple. But he said the temple was going to be destroyed. By the way, it was. In AD 70, not too many years after Jesus spoke these words, the armies came in and obliterated the temple. It was literally, totally gone. But now, in answering their question about his second coming, he says the Antichrist is going to set himself up in the temple. Then a temple had to be rebuilt. Hang with me. When you see him standing in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand, then you better flee. Now, it was inconceivable that the end time events that we are looking at in this passage could possibly have occurred in a literal sense, humanly speaking, but all that changed. There was a time over these last couple thousand years, the Jewish people
were scattered in AD 70. Those Roman armies came in, Titus. They destroyed the city. The Jewish people fled to all the nations of the earth to get away so that most of them were killed, but many of them fled to other nations. And the temple, as I say, just as Jesus said, not one stone was left upon another. And there's a whole history to that. We have details about what happened because we are told in history that the Romans heard that they had put valuable gems in some of those stones and they wanted to get them. And so they literally took every stone down. Just exactly what Jesus said. Isn't it interesting? I can put a history book in this hand, my Bible in this hand, and I can understand. So through all of these years, when you read this, there was no temple over there. The Jews had no country. AD 100, 200, 300, 500, 1,000, 1,500, 1,700, 1,800 AD, 1,900. Where are they? They are in every country of the world, scattered. They have no land. They have no hope. They have no temple. But this says, Jesus said, when I come back the second time, they'll be back in the land, and you will have a temple, because that's the place that the Antichrist will eventually take over and set himself up and declare to the world is to worship him. He is the Messiah. Amen. All of this changed with three events. Number one, the rise of the Zionist movement in the late 1800s. We'll probably touch on some of that in the future, but you could do some research. Theodore Herzl and some others began to long to have a land, their land back. Over in the Middle East. This eventually led to the birth of the modern state of Israel in 1948. By the way, it officially took place May 14th, 1948. I was born March 14th, 1948, I was 2 months old at the time that these events. So the rebirth of the state of Israel happened literally in my lifetime. And the third major event, when they first got their land in 1948, they didn't have what we call the old city, where the temple was built. There's a new city of Jerusalem, but they didn't have the old city. And now I'm at the University of Cincinnati. It is 1967. I am in my first year there, starting into the second year. And I distinctly remember when suddenly all those nations of the world over there decided we are going to get rid of the Jewish people. And once again, they're going to try to kill all of them and get them out of the land that they had. And Israel has a first strike policy, and they struck first. And would you believe they defeated all their enemies. And they recaptured the old city of Jerusalem. 1967. Why is that significant? Now I'm reading this and saying, oh my goodness, that's what Jesus said before he comes back the second time. They'll be in their land. And the Antichrist couldn't set them up in a temple if it wasn't there, but they don't even have the property. But they got the property back in 1967. And I distinctly remember sitting on the campus of the University of Cincinnati with a couple of my unsaved friends. And they were talking about religion and all. And they said, I don't know why you believe this book, my Bible. And I looked at them. It had just come on the news that week. I said, did you see the news? What? Did you see that Israel, the Jewish people, had a war? They were outnumbered, the whole world over there, against them. And in 6 days, they defeated them and took the old city back and the property. And they said, why is that important? I said, because the Bible said, Jesus said, before he comes back the second time, they not only would be back in their land as a nation, but they will rebuild the temple. They now have the property. Oh my goodness. News reports of Israel taking the old city after 2,500 years, just like the Bible said. So they have the potential right now. I have another sermon coming about this, all about the temple. And wait till I share with you, because I read extensively. And I'm going to quote from secular sources talking about the Jewish people privately having meetings talking about, we want to build our temple again. And I'm saying to myself, oh my goodness. Let me tell you how this all developed. I'm giving the short version of how they got their nation back, became a nation again. The conscience of the world was so smitten over the horrors of the Holocaust in World War II that worldwide sympathy was gained for the Jewish people. And Britain, who had control over there, decided to turn it over to the United Nations. And on November the 29th, 1947, the United Nations General Assembly approved a plan to partition Palestine west of the Jordan River. And the state of Israel was created. The first nation to recognize the reborn Israel was the United States. But in less than 24 hours, after claiming now their independent state, Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, all of those nations attacked Israel. The war lasted over a year. It wasn't just a war of independence, it was a struggle for the very existence of the Jewish people. All the surrounding nations refused to recognize Israel's right to exist. I remember the first time I was over there in Jordan and I saw a map. I didn't think much about it, and somebody said to me, you need to go look at that map that's on the wall. There is no Israel on any of their maps. Iraq, Iran, Syria, all those nations, you get their world maps, there is no state of Israel on there. It doesn't exist according to them. That's interesting. Wow. Then in the spring, as I say, of 1967, there was another attempt to destroy Israel. It is now called almost like a miracle war. In 6 days, Israel had captured the Gaza Strip, the Sinai Peninsula from Egypt, the Golan Heights from Syria, and the West Bank and the East Jerusalem from Jordan. Barbara Tuchman, a historian, in an article entitled Practicing History, said this: a people considered for centuries as non-fighters, the Jewish people, carried out in June 1967 against long odds the most nearly perfect military operation in modern history. Now Israel had the Temple Mount, as well as the ancient cities of Shechem, Shiloh, Bethel, Bethlehem, Hebron, and listen to this, the Discovery Channel. In a documentary in 2013 entitled The President's Gatekeepers, when Israel attacked those Arab nations who were getting ready to attack them in June of 1967, the head of Russia, Kosygin, and they show this tape, said to former President Lyndon Johnson, why do you think 3 million Jews will be able to stand against 100 million Arab nations? And President Johnson answered, and I heard it, because the Bible says so. Wow. We're out of time. Hang on. I have just one thing I'm going to do. It'll only take a few minutes. And I think you'd like to hear this. I have a copy of the State of Israel Proclamation of Independence, delivered by David Ben-Gurion in Tel Aviv on May 14th, 1948, when, like no other nation ever in history, a nation out of existence and scattered across the world for 2,500 years now has a country again. These are his words. This is what he spoke. It's not long. I'm just going to do a few of the first paragraphs. David Ben-Gurion, May 14th, 1948. The land of Israel was the birthplace of the Jewish people. Here, their spiritual, religious, and national identity was formed. Here, they achieved independence and created a culture of national and universal significance. Here, they wrote and gave the Bible to the world. Exiled from the land of Israel, the Jewish people remained faithful to it in all the countries of their dispersion, never ceasing to pray and hope for their return and the restoration of their national freedom. Impelled by this historic association, Jews strove throughout the centuries to go back to the land of their fathers and regain their statehood. In recent decades, they returned in masses. They reclaimed the wilderness, revived their language, built cities and villages, and established a vigorous and ever-growing community with its own economic and cultural life. They sought peace, yet were prepared to defend themselves. They brought the blessings of progress to all the inhabitants of the country and looked forward to sovereign independence. Listen to him. The recent Holocaust, which engulfed millions of Jews in Europe, proved anew the need to solve the problem of the homelessness and lack of independence of the Jewish people by means of the reestablishment of the Jewish state, which would open the gates to Jews and endow the Jewish people with equality of status among the families of nations. One more paragraph. The survivors of this disastrous slaughter in Europe, and also Jews from other lands, have not desisted in their efforts to reach the land of Israel in the face of difficulties, obstacles, and perils, and have not ceased to urge their right to a life of dignity, freedom, and honest toil in their ancestral land. We hereby proclaim the establishment of the Jewish state in Palestine to be called the State of Israel. And they were reborn. Amen. Heavenly Father, we know when you came into this world, you came in Jewish flesh. We love the Jewish people. Some know you, some don't know you, but we love them. Oh God, thank you for your word. And Lord, as we look at what's taking place in the Middle East, the state of Israel exists again, like you said it would in the Bible. And there, we understand in their minds privately, there is talk of rebuilding a temple. Oh God, how close are we to your coming back? It must be soon. Help us to be faithful, and help any person who's here today who's never been saved, never realized they're a sinner, can't save themselves, and understand that the Lord Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, died on the cross to pay for our sins, to give us everlasting life. May they make that decision today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.